Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bulls pressured by Claiborne. Strip sack. Ball's loose. And it's heaven. Bentley on the run. In the clear. Touchdown, Patriots.
There you go. Pressure. Could have used that last year.
That'll get you noticed. This kid's been making plays since day one of training camp.
51. Boiler up, baby.
Almost looks like a young Gerard Mayo out there. I don't think Gerard's ever been that fast.
Pressure.
Thought you were gonna drop a pressure on us there, Zoe.
Pressure.
No, that's when Brady gets hit. That's a reverse.
11:04, Zolak and Bertrand Thursday morning here, ahead of the preseason game number 3 tomorrow night. Zolak's going to be heading out with the team in about an hour, as he would say. So we'll make the most of our time with him, talk some more football with you at 617-779-0985. And Zoe has thoughts on the defense, as we heard a big defensive moment there from preseason game number 2. Yeah. Zoe?
I think when I talk about the game planning aspect of it, and you know, as Bill alluded to, they're going to do a little bit of that for Carolina, because I think you have to. You have a unique quarterback, a guy at 6'6". He's listed at 240, which I just crack up at. I'm not 240. And I stand next to this guy, and he's probably 20, 30 pounds bigger than me. Talking about Cam Newton.
Right.
And muscle weighs more. So, I mean, this guy is yoked. He is ripped. He is a massive human being. So I think the edge guys, now you need to plan a little bit as to what our angles are going to be from a containment standpoint, from pushing them up into the pocket to where maybe some bigger guys are. I'm anxious to see the type of combinations they use in the front from that respect. Meaning, okay, and I got it written down here. Is Rivers going to be an outside guy, or you could kick him inside? Because I think if you continue to see what you're seeing from Claiborne, and as you just heard Bob and I on the call there with Nicker, it was Claiborne that initiates the whole pressure from Foles. He hits him, and it's Bentley being perfect in the perfect spot at the right time. Picks it up, scoop, and score. But it's those type of things where you get a free guy off the backside. So you're going to have combinations up front. What are we going to do with Shelton? How about Malcolm Brown? Malcolm Brown's a guy that we haven't really talked about. Could this be one of those years where, you know, we probably maxed out on him? Can they? And Bill is so good at the end of training camp, flipping guys for deals. There's guys like Adam Butler out there making plays. We keep going through it. We saw Lawrence Guy. Oh, man, I mean, there's so many guys that they have up front now from a depth standpoint that they didn't have a year ago that maybe, and I'm not saying they're going to do it, but, you know, a guy like Shelton too. Can they flip one of these guys for a receiver here at the end of camp? That's something that's in play. But that first unit, when you look at this thing for a quarter and a half, who's in the front seven? Hightower's going to be outside as the rush end. You're going to have Van Noy as a drop in. And then it's going to be a combination of Roberts and, I think, Bentley in the middle. I want to see how many reps they give Bentley here with the ones in the first two quarters. Because I said this in the preseason game number one, during preseason game number one. The number one problem I still think that this defense does have, it's not the guy that plays opposite of Stephon Gilmore. We'll figure that out. It's which linebackers can run.
Right.
Because sometimes you're going to get stuck out there defensively, not in nickel, not in dime. And I'm talking about a guy like Bentley. This is a good game to game plan against because you got a guy like McCaffrey coming out of the backfield. And I think that's going to be a critical part of this defense early in the year. You could say, okay, we want to roll the dice and go get people. Well, if you're going to pressure people, you're going to have man situations on little pick plays underneath with backers on backs. You think Landon Roberts can cover?
Joe, that was the number one thing I saw in that preseason game number one. There were linebackers who were supposed to be in those coverage areas who just looked like
chasing dogs.
And not even chasing. They were supposed to be, you know, we've heard this. This is the adage here. You defend your portion of the field. You've got your quadrant. You've got your sector. That's what you're responsible for, whether you're a corner or you're a linebacker and you're in some kind of pass protection there or pass coverage, I should say. And they just weren't in the right spot. There were guys getting free underneath on those routes in between the line and the linebackers, and there was no one there. And once they did catch the ball, it's like you said, who's going to make a play then?
Yeah.
And it was,
yeah.
I understand they're not game planning in game one. They're not necessarily coming up with a defensive game plan, but still, that was troubling to see, at least in that first preseason game.
And you still need to pick the 11 you're sending out there. So this is on Brian Flores. This is the first one where you look at it, and I think Flores is brilliant. because he's been through all aspects of it. He's been through scouting. He's been in the front office. He's been positional coach, and he's sort of had taken that next step to getting ready to be that next defensive coordinator under Bill. So I think Bill's going to take the handcuffs off here a little bit with Flores, and let's let him call the defense and get personnel groups in there. And I mean, there were times last week in game two when they were taking five guys on, five guys off. Normally it's like two or three. I really rarely see substitutions of five guys. So you got Gilmore, you got McCourty, you got Harmon. Who's going to be the number one corner opposite Gilmore first quarter? Is it going to be Rowe? Or are they going to throw McCourty out there, his brother Jason, and say, we're going to find out if it's go time for you? Because if Jason McCourty goes out there and struggles in this game, I can see him having a tough time making this roster.
Absolutely. They got to find some
guys like Jonathan Jones. Hey, you can say what you want about Cyrus Jones, too. Cyrus Jones is dressing, practicing a little bit. There's going to be a point where we're going to stick him back here on a punt, your former second-round pick, see if he can catch it, and let's put him out there on defense and see if he has any confidence left. Because you're going to have to make decisions as this season starts as to who do we trust to go out there in game situations. And just those rotations at the nickel. I'm anxious to see all this. I'm almost more excited to see the defense tomorrow night than I am the offense.
All right. Speaking of the offense, John has thought on the wide receivers. Go ahead, John. You're on with Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy in for Beadle. What do you got?
Yeah, morning, boys. The thought I had for wide receiver, he's available, Brandon LaFell. I'm in the car right now. I can't do the research, but I'm pretty sure this guy had a 7,900 season for the Patriots a couple years ago.
Sure did.
Bengals let him go, and he's out there. I think that's a call instead of messing around with guys like Decker.
Yeah, he was nicked up. Didn't have a real, real productive season for them, but that's a guy that understands the system. I could see them bringing a guy like that in if separation is the question. If Dez can't separate, why would you bring Dez in at $6-7 million if he can't separate? As we could get another guy at 6'3", 6'4". That's a pretty good target for Tom that could use his body, even if he's not open, fight for the ball because he's done it here before, and bring him in on a cheap.
John, on
the see them doing that.
John on the Pats defense in Stoughton. Go ahead, John. What do you got for us?
I just think I think this defense has the potential to be, you know, a really good defense. You know, I think Bill's, you know, he's proven that, you know, he can put things together. But I just think that, you know, if one of these three guys, either Hightower, McCourty, you know, or Gilmore, you know, has an injury, you know, I'm not confident in the depth at those positions because that's just my opinion.
No, and I'm not confident that McCourty is going to be able to get that job done on the corner opposite Gilmore. Look, we've already said it. They're trying to find something for him to do on this team. They were trying him out at a couple of different spots, I think, already, either in camp or in one of the preseason games. I mean,
they're going to be safety heavy. I mean, they're still going to go with that big nickel. You know, we didn't even mention Chung. Chung's going to be in that mix. I could see him having three safeties at the first snap of the game, first snap of the season in the game.
But Devin, I think, is solid. You know, it's the other McCourty that I worry about.
He's got a lot of miles on him, too, now. Devin's one of those guys that's played a lot of playoff games. That's another season. He's a heavy hitter. And I've heard some people say he looks sluggish at times out there. I haven't seen that yet. You know, maybe he's just sort of trying to build it up to get it ready because he knows the type of season he's going to need to have. So,
well, one thing that Devin McCourty seems to have down is how to tackle without using the helmet. And, you know, he's been used as an example as a guy who knows how to do it right. The helmet rule, once again, being adjusted here, the inadvertent contact is not going to be a penalty. That's what they're saying now, Zoe. So,
that's nice.
Are you being sarcastic, or do you think that was necessary tweak to the rule? What's the problem?
They'll call it tomorrow night.
What's the problem?
I don't know, because we're 2 weeks away, and they don't know what the hell they're doing with this damn rule.
Okay,
they're leaving it in.
Torbert is working as the ref for tomorrow night's Patriots-Panthers game. This is from Price's column in the Boston Sports Journal yesterday. He worked a pair of Patriots games last year. One of them was the divisional playoff win over the Titans. At Gillette Stadium, and he says, it's important to note that in the context of this conversation about the helmet rule and whatnot, Torbert's crew seems to be one of the more conservative. It only tossed one flag related to the new helmet rule in the opener, and that was on the offense. For what it's worth, it sounds like that flag was thrown in error. Anyway, there we go. I don't know that you're going to see a lot of it. I don't know how much of it you're going to see tomorrow night from Ron Torbert's crew. But what's wrong with them getting something on the books to say, okay, inadvertent contact isn't going to be a penalty? How is that in any way bad?
I don't know. Depends how they call it. If they have more of these calls, like the Jordan Richards call from last week, then I'm going to go nuts tomorrow night. I'm going to change the way I call the game. You can put the rule in front of me all you want.
Here's why I think that's great, though. That rule, because the referees can throw the flag and then talk amongst each other and say, oh, that was an inadvertent contact. There's no penalty.
Yeah.
Oh, they can pick it up.
It's not a foul. Inadvertent or incidental contact with the helmet and or face mask is not a foul.
Hey, as long as they get the call right, I don't care what they do with it. But I thought it's going to be more along the lines. Let's just make sure if it really looks like targeting and the guy's dropping his head to take a guy out, we're going to throw it. Let's throw it. I think they're going to leave the rule in. They're going to let this thing roll for 3 years. They're going to tell guys, eat the freaking flags. All right? When it's real ball, let's eat the flags, guys. Unless it is launching, leading with the head, spearing, whatever you want to be, defenseless receiver, you name it. Call it.
All right. The committee met by conference call to discuss the new helmet rule through the first couple of weeks. And as we said last week, after, you know, you were notified as you and Sosie were calling the game and the game was picked up on TV and it was on the NFL network, that it was either you or someone on one of the broadcasts, it ran afoul of somebody in the NFL and they said, hey, these guys need to slow their roll a little bit on their criticizing of the helmet rule calls. But they're watching. They're watching for the new
sensitive.
Hello, everyone. This is Al Riveron.
Hello, Al. Don't call my booth again.
Oh, there we go. Now we know who it was. The committee determined that inadvertent or incidental contact with the helmet and or face mask is not a foul. As all adjust to the new rule, we will continue. This is from the NFL. We will continue to provide video feedback and examples of fouls and incorrect calls to coaches, players, and officials over the next 2 weeks and throughout the season as the new rule is implemented. You know what that tells me, Zoe?
What's it tell
me? Get ready for it. This is going to be going on all season long. They're talking as the new rule is implemented throughout the season. Their phrase, throughout the season. Lots of video and conversations and tweaking and, no, really shouldn't have called it there. Oh, could have called it there. Ah, that one, sorry about that. Sorry about the 15 yards and extending that drive for the other team that resulted in a touchdown and you guys lost by six. Stuff like that. It's going to continue to happen all season long. So get ready for it. All right, we're going to get into the Urban Meyer apology. Ohio State University head coach. He not only apologized, but there was an explanation as to why maybe some of the facts were a little fuzzy in terms of his recollection. More on that coming up. Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and for Beetle.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air,
balls everywhere.
You should work in the same building with him.
Did Zo leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I followed my heart, not my head. I fell short in pursuing full information because at each juncture, I gave Zach Smith the benefit of the doubt. As I reflect my loyalty to his grandfather, Earl Bruce, who was my mentor and like a father to me, likely impacted how I treated Zach over the years. I did not know everything about Zach Smith, which was what Zach Smith was doing, and I'm pleased that the report made this very clear. However, I should have demanded more from him and recognized red flags.
That's Urban Meyer not reading that statement at all. You can tell that's just off the cuff, just speaking from the heart.
He's so genuine.
Suspended for the first three games. So he's not going to coach against Oregon State, Rutgers, and TCU. I think it's number 16 right now. Does that sound right?
Yeah, TCU will be hard. Where are they playing him at? TCU or is it Ohio State?
I don't know.
Yeah, look it up. It's Ohio State.
Sarge will look it up for us. Sarge is in
TCU
here.
Is 16, by the way.
Thank you very much, Sarge.
No problem.
Zoe in Foxborough is getting ready to leave with the team for the game against the Panthers tomorrow night. Hardy back here in Dorchester filling in for Beetle. Urban Meyer suspended for the first three games. He says he was thinking with his heart and not his head. Or his head. I follow my heart and not my head.
Well, when you're grandfathered in and you got Earl Bruce, former Ohio State head coach, you know, when you think of all the great Ohio State coaches. You know, Earl Bruce is up there, but you know, that's his grandson, so he took good care of me, and I'm going to take good care of him. I'm just going to look the other way after his wife sends the entire coaching staff's wives in a group text the amount of bruising that she has all over her body from when he beat the hell out of her.
Right. Now,
and Urban knew nothing of it, he says.
Two things. Number one, Zach Smith.
Hayes was pretty good, too, when he threw chairs and punched a kid. So, I mean, they've had some good quality guys through that program.
Yeah, but that kid had just intercepted a ball that probably cost, you know, it wasn't his own kid. He punched an opposing player, correct?
Yeah, Michigan.
Yeah. Well, he's just fighting for the win. You can't fault Woody Hayes for that.
Was it Michigan or was it another team?
I don't think it was Michigan.
No. I think it was Florida. Wasn't it like Florida or? Damn it.
And hadn't he just picked off? I think he had just picked off a pass and like kind of went running down the sideline. And Woody Hayes kind of punched it. It was a bit of a clothesline. Feisty. Yeah. Zach Smith, by the way, who is the assistant coach, who was fired. Didn't do it. That's his statement over and over again. I didn't do nothing. His attorney issued a statement last week. This one has kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit, I think. His attorney said Zach Smith married a woman he should not have married. Vengeance against her ex-husband regrettably resulted in collateral damage to Urban Meyer, Gene Smith, and the Ohio State University.
That's nice how they put that "the" in.
Oh, yeah. It's classy. Classy. Yeah. Right. Always good to have an attorney who is representing you in a domestic assault allegations that is on front page news everywhere to come off as a stupid honk for a college football program. Trying cases in the media is a dangerous precedent for every other coach in America. So that's his story, and he's sticking to it. Meanwhile, Urban Meyer has a different story, though. And you talked about, you know, the recollections and all that stuff. Urban Meyer has an interesting excuse over this. The internal investigation on this, right. And this was tweeted out by Brett McMurphy. The investigation report says, quote, "We learn Coach Meyer has sometimes had significant memory issues in other situations. Where he had prior extensive knowledge of events, he has also periodically taken medicine that can negatively impair his memory, concentration, and focus." No, it impairs the memory, concentration, and focus. So, Coach Meyer, hey, you know what we learned throughout this investigation, guys?
He blacks out.
He doesn't remember a lot of stuff. And this is stuff that he had extensive knowledge of, stuff that we knew he knew. He can't remember.
I can't wait to have Breerin again to defend this moron, this piece of crap. I mean, just...
He's hopped up on so many drugs for various issues.
Hold on a second.
He can't remember anything. He can't focus. He can't... That's what they're saying. That's the investigation report.
Didn't he retire because he was lightheaded and he had health problems and the stress of the job when he was at Florida and that? And they went to the Sugar Bowl one year.
And he had the heart attack after the game.
Yes, and family's not. He's like, I'm done because like my family's too important. Now, running this university, all the money this guy's made over the years, and think of some of the individuals he's pushed through programs. And I'm not only talking Ohio State, I'm talking about Florida. Some bad guys. He's harbored some bad individuals. And if he looked the other way on this incident where you got actual domestic violence taking place, where you have actual police reports, everything is on the record. Right here, we got the pictures. We got the bruising. We have the scars. We have the cuts. And if you're going to look away on that, imagine what he does if a player gets a DUI or if a player supposedly smacks a girlfriend or something. Guess what Urban's going to do? He's going to protect that player. There's a reason he left Florida.
Protect the player, protect the assistant coaches. And when it comes down to it, I don't know. I don't remember.
I was not being as complete, as accurate as I should have been at media day and afterward. But there is no intent to mislead.
No, I just don't remember.
That sounded like that was off the cuff, too.
I knew so many things that I don't know anymore, and I can't focus, I can't concentrate. Speaks well of your football program going forward, if any of that is true, but I don't believe any of that crap either.
People get on Bill Belichick for not giving you anything and how he handles the media or how he treats the media, right, on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
But the defining Bill Belichick moment to me was when the Aaron Hernandez stuff went down. He took the podium, and we all sat there and thought, "You say we're only going to talk about the guys that are here. We're only going to, you know, we're moving forward. We released a player, but the player's not here. I'm not going to talk about it." And he went on, and it was not written. It was off the cuff, and it was, it may have been 10 to 15 of his finest moments. And in a bad situation, yeah, an awful situation. I'm saying that, but the way he came off there, and then Urban Meyer was deliberately asked a question about the wife of his ex-fired coach.
Yep.
The ex-wife. And he had a chance to knock it out of the park, and he took it to, well, we're all going through it. It's unfortunate for all of us. Never addressed her by name, was specifically asked the question to talk about her by name, and he just took it down, you know, the Buckeye Nation thing.
You've already got the three games. It's already been settled. Apologizing at this point is not going to implicate you any further. The punishment has been doled out. At that point, you say,
fair.
Yes, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know what, going back now, I would have done this, this, and this. As it stood, I only did that, and that obviously wasn't enough. It wasn't enough at that time. It's certainly not enough now, as more and more people are becoming aware of the best way to handle these types of situations. It's no excuse. I didn't do enough, and I'm sorry.
I don't know if that's enough, though. I don't know if that's true, though, because Jim Tressel was initially suspended, what, 3 games? And then he got fired once more information came out.
Well, Jim, if he can't remember where he parked his car, then maybe he shouldn't be working anyway. According to the investigation, these medications.
That's pathetic.
He periodically takes.
He's got to use. He can use this the rest of his life now.
Yeah. It negatively impairs his memory, concentration, and focus. Do you need any of those things?
He had this the final 5 minutes of a game. I don't know. I blacked out. I don't know what the clock meant.
Gets pulled over for a DUI. Hey, I didn't know I drank. I forgot I drank.
I didn't even know I drove there. I can't remember anything. Pete in Delaware. Pete in Delaware, what do you got?
What do you got, Pete?
Hey, guys. Hey, he was better off, Urban Meyer, not even having the press conference last night, because apparently ESPN...
He came off worse.
What's that?
He came off worse.
He was worse than he was in the first media press conference. It was a statement he didn't want to read, and apparently the whole reason that it took 10 hours to come to a decision was Meyer did not want to accept the 3 games. So he doesn't want to accept it, and then you put him on the podium. He was like a teenager. He was horrible.
He's pissed.
No,
You're right. There was that report that behind the scenes, Urban Meyer was fighting that suspension. Like, he was not going to have anything to do with being suspended or being away from the football team.
You know what's sick about all this, too?
Politicking that.
He doesn't want to miss the TCU game. It's all about TCU. You got to be back there for TCU.
That's at AT&T Stadium, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one. And I got to be there for TCU.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have priorities so far out of whack.
Yeah.
There's a baseball game happening about 90 minutes from now, Zoe over at Fenway Park.
Zoe's not at Fenway.
What?
You said Zoe's at Fenway.
There is a big baseball game going on 9 minutes from now over at Fenway Park.
90.
These final two hours are going to be dynamite.
Is this a big start for David Price today or what, Zoe? I mean, how big is this start today?
It's a big start. Not as bad. Not as big as if they got their ass kicked last night.
Let's talk about that after Sarge does whatever he's going to do. I don't know.
Sports Hub headlines.
Yeah, the Red Sox will try and split their series with the Indians today at Fenway Park. 1 o'clock is your first pitch. David Price going for his 14th win of the year, 4.69 ERA. And he'll oppose Adam Plutko, 4-3 with a 4.62 ERA. Ian Kinsler out of the Sox lineup today, so you'll have Brock Holt at second base. He'll be batting sixth in the lineup. Last night, the Red Sox, 10-4 winners over the Tribe. They got a 9-game lead over the Yankees for first in the AL East. Last night, New York lost to the Marlins 9-3. Patriots hit the road today for Carolina ahead of tomorrow night's preseason game against the Panthers. Yesterday, the team released veteran receiver Kenny Britt after signing him during the 2017 season. He was the third receiver released by the Patriots this preseason. Some other NFL news. According to ESPN, the Raiders have signed cornerback Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie to a one-year deal. Ohio State football suspending head coach Urban Meyer. First 3 games of the season after an investigation found that he mishandled domestic assault allegations against former assistant coach Zach Smith. And San Antonio Spurs guard Manu Ginobili is considering retirement. He plans to make a decision over the next couple of weeks, that according to ESPN. Headlines are brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's new 4 for $4 now has more choices than ever. I'm Mike Riley on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5 The Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
2-2. Oh, rolled to deep right field. Guyer back, turning. Yeah! He took two shots at it, swung and missed twice, and the third one's a charm. His 15th home run as he deposits that into the bullpen. What a big hit. Sox are up 8-4.
All right, slight change of plans here. We're still going to talk David Price as he gets to start today in the fourth and final game against the Indian series here. But
we
got a shark update coming up here at 11:50, and it's a big one.
We're going to do sharks at 11:50 because per our discussion from yesterday, something may have arrived in the area.
Wow. All it took was us talking about it for 5 minutes yesterday.
We're pretty good at that stuff.
We're pretty much like Aquaman. When it comes to this stuff, we speak, and the fishes and the mammal fishes listen, and that's what we're talking about here. What I call a mammal fish, because it still swims, got flippers and whatnot, lives in the water, but it's a mammal. I call it a mammal fish. Hardy, that's a contradiction in terms. Shut up. It's a mammal fish. It's my term, and it works. First, though, David Price getting the start today, though. Big spot. I mean, this is a good team. They've managed to put themselves in a position where they can salvage a split of the four-game set with the Indians after dropping the first two. First, only the second time all season they lost three games in a row when you go back to the previous series. Now David Price goes in there today. You say, Zoe, not to put words in your mouth, but some of the pressure was taken off of him. How so?
Well, I would say 2 days ago, he's probably crapping his pants, meaning that you look at the way that they're managing the series with Terry Francona in the back of that bullpen and how it's like, keep it close, and then we're going to run away with this thing at the end of games, and how they were just shutting down a pretty damn good Red Sox lineup, the meat of the order, eighth and ninth inning. And if you lose that game last night, that would have been what now, four in a row or five in a row?
Four.
And that would have been four last night.
Only team in the majors that has not lost four straight.
Okay, so that would have been four in a row with a guy up to stop the bleeding that I would call the bleeder. That doesn't really add up. But, you know, it was such a quintessential Pedro or Schilling spot where team would be struggling. That guy would say, give me the damn ball. Let me go out there. I'm going to stop the bleeding. And we never really feel that way with David Price. But I think winning last night in the fashion they won with that game was over early. Yeah, the one inning, you could turn the game off. You know, what is that, fifth inning? Turn the game off. You were done. It was over. And it sort of takes, I don't say the luster or the edge off it, but it's still a big spot for him because he ran his mouth last week at Johnny Miller. And usually when he does that, he usually gets smacked in the mouth the ensuing game. So it's a big spot for him. It is still a big spot, but not as big as if they would have lost last night. This would have been monumental. This would have been the biggest David Price start of the year and not the one against the Yankees. Everybody likes to talk about the one against the Yankees. People forget that Sanchez and Judge were out of that lineup. So let's wait and see what that thing looks like if this race tightens up, which I don't think it will. I think you're looking at your American League East champs right there, the Boston Red Sox.
This is a very winnable game for him when you look at the opposition, too. Is it Adam Plutko? Is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
He's a rookie. Yeah, rookie for the Indians.
One of my favorite games.
I think he's, you know, 4-3 this season, ERA north of like 4.5.
4.62.
4.62 ERA. And Price has a pretty good record against the Indians.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, this is 10-2 and a 2.24 ERA. Now, this is lifetime. But also, in his last six starts, though, David Price is 4-0, 1.8 ERA.
And the batting average that he's facing, .215 against the hitters.
Very, very winnable spot for David Price today. So what does it say to you about David Price and the Red Sox, as they've shown, look, they're not falling apart. They lost three games in a row. It's only the second time this season they've done that. We've talked about them having to come back to earth a little bit at some point. It was unfathomable for them to continue on that pace and win 118 games this season. No one thought that was going to happen. But does it say anything else about this team and their makeup as they head into the rest of the season, down the home stretch, and into the postseason, if David Price, with the history that he has against the Indians, with the way he's been pitching lately, and with the opposition that they're going up against today, does it say anything about Price and the team if they don't take this one this afternoon and get the four-game series split here this afternoon at Fenway Park? I think it speaks to both issues. Not a lot, but it does say something about Price, and it does say something about the team if they can't win this one today.
Yeah, I think it would be. I mean, but will we be shocked? No. Like, I wouldn't be shocked one way or the other if he goes out and pitches three or through seven, or if he gets knocked out in the fourth inning. I don't know really what to expect with him. I don't, because this is what we classify as a good team. Even though Cleveland has struggled at times this year, and it hasn't been perfect for them, they're still a good team. He goes out there and doesn't perform well today. I think we're going to be back to here we go, same old Price. Take those numbers, take those six or eight straight starts, take that 1.08 ERA or of the 4-0 wins throughout the last six, and just throw them out the window. Because you're only as good as your last game. And you remember this guy and how he finishes the year. You remember how he finishes pitching against them, how he finishes against the Yankees. You still got to play the Yankees again, right? Do you play Houston left?
Yeah, they're here in September, 2 weeks.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a big series.
So he's got at least 3 to 4 quality big starts coming up. So I think this is a big stretch for him this last month and a half.
Who is the lineup today? I know you've been giving it in the updates so far, though. But
Kinsler's out, so you got Brock Holt at second. You want the whole thing? Give it right now.
No, I just want to make sure. Okay, you got Xander in there, and you got Mookie and JD, and everybody's course. Playing.
Just Kinsler's out. That's the big one.
Okay, and you know, Xander with the two home runs last night. Mm-hmm. JD and Mookie haven't fallen off at all. And this Plinko kid has never played the Red Sox. He's never faced the Red Sox before. So, yeah, this is a game they need
Plinko's
to win.
Plinko's the one where you drop the disc and it goes.
Yeah, that's the best game.
Falls down, right?
Yep.
Everybody loves Plinko.
It's an awesome game.
Show me somebody who doesn't like Plinko.
You always win something. That's why.
Well, I like watching it. It's like one of those games. I'll watch someone else play Plinko. Sure, I like to play it myself. And who doesn't have a Plinko board at home? You know, or you just go in there and... You know, you create your own prizes.
With the yodeler, with the Swiss Miss Coco woman going up the mountain.
Oh, yeah, you got to guess the price of the car and everything. And
what's the name?
You always do that with
everything. Yeah, I forget the name of it.
You guess prices. That's what it
is. Price is Right. Yodel game. That is
climbing up.
Cliffhangers.
Cliffhanger, yeah, exactly.
Wow. I would have not have come up with cliffhangers. Huh. All right, Zoe, something washed up on the beach. Something that speaks to...
no striper.
Yeah, something that speaks to what we discussed yesterday. I don't know if this certain thing is involved with what washed up on the beach, but we'll talk about it right before Zoe has to get out of here at noontime today here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
Is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, 11:52. Zoe, when are you out of here? Straight up noon?
Straight up noon.
Okay.
Sergeant's Hub headline.
Oh, you got your big boy shirt on there for flying on the airplane,
getting
huh?
Ready? We're getting ready. Yeah.
All right. You got
Clark Kent.
Yeah. Dress nice on those charters, huh?
Oh yeah, they feed you well too. Yeah.
What are you gonna have?
Depends. I'll probably go with the filet.
Nice.
Sort of a stuff. Hey, Paul Pearl, how you doing?
Sosie gets
like
the PB&J.
Where I get destructed. Sosie, he'll have the ham salad. He likes ham.
All right, Zoe.
I like sitting next to Sos because I look over at his feet like you're just swinging and not touching the ground, the big boy seat.
Zoe's spotted this on Twitter a few minutes ago.
This is amazing, folks.
The Atlantic White Shark Conservancy said researchers are going to take samples to determine what happened. Samples of what? Dead great white shark found on the beach in Truro. God,
this is crazy.
This is the same beach where the 61-year-old man from New York was bit, what was it, a week ago now?
Yeah. The shark has no liver. It's game on, baby. like if his shark's stomach is eaten, and it's like the orca killed it and just took its liver.
Well, what we found out,
Hannibal Lecter.
What we were talking about yesterday is the fact that orcas, killer whales, are maybe the real apex predator in the ocean. I don't know how it works if you can have more than one apex predator, but the killer whales will oftentimes do a submarine attack on a great white shark. Come up, hit them so hard that it flips them over, and once the shark is on its back, it kind of stuns them, and then the killer whale will take a bite out of the shark somewhere in its abdominal shark belly region and suck its liver out. The nutrient-rich, delicious great white shark liver, which weighs about 65 pounds, they say, and the killer whales like that liver.
Yes.
And they'll just suck that liver out and then spit out the rest of the shark and say, here, have that, you stupid shark.
Wow. I'm hungry.
Now, Zoe, you've seen the photos. There's two of them posted on Twitter. You've retweeted one of them already.
I have.
Does it appear that there is a big bite taken out of this shark?
It's hard to tell, but it looks like its left fin is sort of twisted under it, which looks like there may be something missing underneath it. It looks like the tail is twisted and it's intact behind it. I thought it was just like half a shark at first. Then you look at it closely, the tail's there in the back, but something's missing from the left side. Oh, no, there's sand on top of the fin. Something's underneath it. Something had to get taken out from underneath it.
Yeah, that's sand on there. That's just good. The fin's there.
Yeah, I couldn't see that.
I don't know. Can you get your sunglasses on?
I'm operating off a phone and I can see it.
Get your sunglasses.
You have four computers in there.
Yeah, that's definitely sand.
What are you gonna do in the final 2 hours, Sarge?
Hang with Hardy.
Well, I mean, I know you're gonna hang with him.
No, no. We're not getting into that yet. The final 2 hours don't start for five more minutes. Let's not.
You're sucking every minute out of me.
Put it this way: we talked yesterday about how we need orcas.
Yes,
to travel here. They love the Pacific Northwest. They love the coffee. They love the grunge music. They'll just float and spray and flop around off the coast of Seattle all the live long day. But what we need to convince them is, hey, we got pretty good coffee here in Boston. You know, we got Dunks out here. You know, some decent music here too. Why don't you swim around the Cape and the islands for a couple of months out of the year? See what you think. And boom, like that, the very next day, a dead great white washes up on shore in Truro.
And it's almost like they ate the shark, then they just spit it out on the beach where all these attacks and all these sightings have taken place.
We don't know if this is an attack. If it appears to be a kind of a young shark, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks like a baby one.
Well, I wouldn't say a baby. It's 9 feet long.
9 feet is a juvenile. I think 8 to 10 is a juvenile.
Yes. A dead male white shark estimated to be about 9 feet.
Does anybody else have this? Like, does Channel 4 there or BZ or
got the news 5? Coming up at 12. We'll find out.
Yeah, we can take a look. But right now, I you can't tell because the shark's laying on its belly. It doesn't look like there's a big bite taken out of it that, you know, would be inflicted by an orca.
There's another angle of this picture here. I still can't tell with the left, but I don't know. It looks like it's still intact there, that fin, from the other angle of it.
Okay, did you tweet that out?
I will right now.
That would help people.
At Sarge985, blue check mark. There you go.
Could be natural causes.
Yep.
How do these sharks die?
Who doesn't have a blue check mark now? Like, really?
A couple people here.
Hook has one.
It's funny that you mentioned that the Atlantic White Shark Conservancy, with 23,100 followers, does not have a blue check mark.
That's what I just retweeted.
Yeah, well, and it's surprising because there are plenty of people claiming to be the Atlantic White Shark Conservancy. They have a legitimate claim. They need the blue check mark.
Yes, they do.
Because there are imposter Atlantic White Shark Conservancy accounts out there tweeting out all kinds of misinformation. So they need. Is this the real one?
That's going to be official.
You know, I don't know.
Looks like to me, looks like a sick shark.
The shark looks sick. What looks sick about it?
Just the way that the back, the tail is. It's like all like depressed and.
Well, it's dead.
Over. Yeah,
it's dead, and it's on the
beach.
Doesn't
have good coloring.
What's off of that?
Another thing. It's dead.
The coloring.
Water is not running over its gills, so you can understand why it would be dead.
Yeah. Over or even through its gills.
I don't know. What do you do with this thing?
I don't know. You say the shark looks
sick. They go and they cut it up.
Yeah, they're going to take samples. Yes. Researchers from the Mass Division of Marine Fisheries and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration have been contacted to
Oceanic.
Come and take samples. What did I say?
Oceanic.
Okay.
Potato, potato. Same thing.
Thank you, Sarge. See, Sarge and I are already forming an unholy alliance for our final 2 hours
this
together.
This is great. What are you guys going
to
hit on?
The first thing we're going to hit on, I'll give you a chance to weigh on it before you leave here, Zoe, is the Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson match on Thanksgiving weekend.
I got two takes on this, quick ones.
Okay.
I'm ecstatic about it because, I mean, you're sitting around Thanksgiving weekend. I mean, there's a lot of college football, so that's the tease. Do you really? But if it's on NBC or CBS, and then I find out it's going to be pay-per-view. I ain't going to pay for that. But then you heard they start talking crap on each other. If this is going to be like McGregor and Mayweather, and you're going to get F you, F this, screw your country, screw mine, screw you, and a couple F-bombs, you can follow them around, of course, and they're going to be talking bleep, that's watchable.
Well, just a quick tease here, Zoe. I will be ordering it on pay-per-view, and I owe you a...
FaceTime.
I owe you a FaceTime pay-per-view favor.
Thank you.
Zoe FaceTimed me during a pay-per-view event some time ago.
Yeah, and I like the whole thing.
I owe him one back. So that way we'll be even.
That was awesome.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, Zoe, safe trip down to Carolina. Hey, I don't want you to be late.
Guys.
You got to go get on your flight, so we'll get you out of here a few seconds early.
Appreciate it. Sarge. I know these shows are tough being split up like this, but you guys do a good job. Final 2 hours. Have fun, Sarge.
Thanks, Zoe. Appreciate it, man.
And we'll
see you next week.
We'll be watching you tomorrow night along with Bob Sosi. Nink going to be down there with you, too?
Nink will be there. I wonder what he's going to be wearing.
Rob Ninkovich.
Nice Mr. Sid shirts.
I'm wearing a Nink-like short-sleeved, somewhat dressy shirt today.
You are.
I'm like, if Ninkovich can pull it off, I can wear one, too.
His arms are a little tighter. Yours are, like, kind of open. You got the old man open arms.
Nink also played football.
Yeah, his arms are tighter because he has muscles in his arms.
Sheesh.
I mean, what do you want?
All right, I got to go.
Yeah, so do we.
Goodbye.
Sarge, you got a hub headline here. It's not going to wait all day.
Yeah.